Good morning, folks. You can be turning to the book of James this morning. We'll continue our series in the book of James. James chapter 5 is where we'll be today. James 5 and verse 7. I will be preaching about the coming of the Lord today, so we'll pick this thought up in the book of James in verse 7 of chapter 5. So let me read to you this morning from James 5 and begin at verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of the suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, with these words seen in verse 7, the coming of the Lord, James prepares us for what he's going to talk about. And so he's going to talk about the coming of the Lord. Now, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, there are some important questions. Who is coming? Well, Jesus said that he would come himself. Where is he coming? The Bible says when he comes, he'll come in the clouds. He'll come in the air. Why is he coming is another question to consider. He's coming, as the Bible says, to execute judgment. He's coming to separate the sheep from the goats. He's coming as the victor over death, hell, and the grave, over sin. And so the Bible tells us that. What the Bible does not tell us, though, as far as important questions concerning the coming of the Lord, is when is he coming? We don't know. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But here's what we do know. We know that he is coming. We believe in what the Bible teaches to be the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means he could come at any time. There's no other prophecy that has to be fulfilled in the Bible for Jesus Christ to come again. These folks that James was writing to here in the book of James believe the same thing we believe. They believe that Jesus could come at any moment, and they were prepared for his coming. So as we think about what I want to talk about today in the coming of the Lord, here's what James is concerned about. He's concerned about how we live between the first coming and the second coming. In your life, in my life, in our pilgrimage with the Lord, in our Christian walk, we are somewhere, you know, between the beginning and the end. And so, being there, then how do we live in light of the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now, we need to be prepared. We need to be saved. We need to be ready when he comes. Because as the Bible says, he will come as a thief in the night. And so there is no time for preparation at his coming. It's going to be quick. It's going to be sudden. And as we are found when he comes again is how we will be taken. So we need to be ready for that time. So what James is talking about here, though, he's talking about how we live between the first coming and second coming. We've been preaching about, through the book of James, how faith works. And so today what we're talking about is how faith works between the first coming and second coming of Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the first point that I want to talk about today. And that is this. Be calm. Look up and be calm. James uses an illustration here that I think is one that we can understand very vividly. There's no complicated thing about understanding this illustration. But he talks about the farmer. And he's talking about the farmer who plants the seed, and what the farmer does is to wait for the harvest. James talks about the early rain and the latter rain here in Palestine, in the land where Jesus lived. What they would do is the farmer would plant the seed probably October or November, and then he would wait for the rain to come, the latter rain, and the early rain. The early rain would come in April, and the latter rain would come in May. And so the illustration that James is talking about here today, as we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, as we look in anticipation for His coming again, as we gain confidence and trust in Him through the promise of the second coming, the hope that we have in Christ, in His return, then what James says is this: we have to be patient. We've got to wait patiently, he says, just as the farmer does. When the farmer plants the seed, he prepares the soil, he plants the seed, and really, there's not a whole lot that he can do until the harvest time comes. He can pull weeds, he can cultivate and things like that. But the farmer is not in control of the most important thing, and that is the weather. And planting the seed, he can do his work, he can do the fertilizing and all that kind of thing, but he cannot control the weather. There are things going on underneath the earth with the seed that the farmer cannot see. And so, do you see how this illustration here, the farmer, speaks to us into look up and be calm? He says, what we need is patience. The word patience literally means this. It means to stand still and be firm when you want to run away. There are things in life that come our way. There are circumstances that come our way at times that make us want to run away. We have a tendency to look at our problems. We have a tendency to not look up, and we take our eyes off of the Lord, and we look at the circumstance and problems and all the stuff that's going on, and we worry so much. 90% of the things we worry about, they tell us, never happen anyway. But we worry about those things. When I get anxious, I have a rocking chair I like to rock in. You know, you don't get anywhere rocking, you just rock. And I don't know that solves a lot of problems. But you know, that's a lot like worry. Worry doesn't benefit us. We're not going to get anywhere with worry. And so he says we're to follow the example here of the farmer. In other words, we don't know what God is doing underneath. We don't know what God is doing in that circumstance that's got us so troubled and so anxious. And so what is it today that's causing your anxiety? Where are you today? Maybe you cannot see what God is doing in the circumstance or situation. So he says this, that what we have to do is be patient. Let's just be patient with what God is doing. And so we need this kind of patience to follow Him. Don't run away from it. The idea here of patience also is the idea of a marathon race. The long distance runner is running the race, and they focus on the finish line, they focus on the goal line. through the race they may stumble, they may fall, they may lose focus, but you get up and you keep your eyes on the focus. And our focus, our hope, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Along the way, we may stumble. Along the way, we may lose our focus. Along the way, we may let circumstance just bother us and worry and anxiety. But get back on track. How do we do that? We look up and we be calm. Just be calm with it. Trust Him with it. Knowing that patience will have its way, knowing that God is in control, and knowing that God can work the situation out. So that's what he says. Between the first coming and second coming, just like these people here, they were under very severe persecution. That was their problem. That was their circumstance. That was their anxiety. A lot of them faced an uncertain future. They didn't know if they were going to make it or not under the persecution and stress. And so James' advice to them is his advice to us today. And that is this: look up and be calm and trust Him with it. I look back in my notes on the sermons that I preached here through the years on the second coming. And I found this sermon I preached in 1983 on the next day. Or the day after. It was the title of it. Some of you probably remember that. I didn't remember it. You probably don't remember it. Been a long time ago. But anyway, what I started reading there on that note that I made about that sermon was that ABC had put on a special the previous week. And that special, the title of it was The Day After. You may remember that. I mean, it created a lot of controversy because they had a lot of protest about showing it. It was about the story was, they dropped a nuclear bomb. The Russians dropped a nuclear bomb in Kansas City, and it showed the results of a small town a distance away from Kansas City and how they had to cope with the reaction to this nuclear bomb being dropped. And it just talked about all the uncertainty and all the damage and all the problems. And people really got upset about that. And it really caused a lot of questions about, an uncertain future. We don't know what the future is. We know who holds the future. Just like the farmer, he doesn't know what the harvest is going to bring. He doesn't know if it's going to be a good harvest or a bad harvest. He's not in control of the weather. And so, just like the farmer, what we have to do is trust God, be patient, look up to Him, and be calm. Number two, James says what we need to do is to look in and be clean. And the way he says it is this way. In verse 8, he says that what we have to do, he says, we are to be patient and establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. The key thought there is establishing your heart. Be clean. Establish your heart. You are the only person that can establish your heart. I am the only person that can establish my heart. What he's talking about here is personal responsibility. Establish your heart. Be clean on the inside. How do we prepare for His second coming? How do we live between the first coming and second coming of Christ? We establish our hearts. And he says here that we are to be patient. We wait as we wait. It's very easy to become impatient. It's very often that we become bent out of shape. He says what happens here is that we can grumble, we can do things, you know, that cause us to become bitter and very angry about things. And he says, that is not what we should do. So as we wait, then we establish our heart. We commit to living the way he wants us to live, to trust him, and we don't do these things that he's talking about here. We stay away from that. Look in verse 9. He says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So the judge is standing at the door. Who is the judge? Well, God. Who's the judge? Jesus Christ, who's coming back. He's standing right at the door, and he knows the heart of every individual. He knows who's ready to go and who's not ready to go. He knows all that. But why is it important that we establish our hearts, that we be patient, that we be calm, that we look in and establish our own heart, take responsibility? He says, here's what happens. If we lose our patience, if we're not patient with things, if we don't let things work out the way God is going to work them out, then we start to grumble. And that could be directed at a neighbor. It could be directed at a friend. It could be directed at anyone. He says here, a brother, don't grumble at each other. But the bottom line is this. The grumbling, the bitterness, the impatience as we wait for the second coming of Christ is really directed at God. Don't go there. Let God work His work in your life. Let God work the situation out. He is coming again. Between the first coming and second coming, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. And so what James is telling these folks here who are under this severe persecution, don't grumble. Let it work its way out. Trust in God. Establish your heart. Your concern is not about everybody else. Establish your heart and where you are and how you live and what you do, if you're ready to meet the Lord or not. Get that established is what he's saying here. So we're to do that. And so he says it here, that to do it that way. So how are we clean? Listen to 1 John 1:7. I want to point out something to you here. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. How are we clean? Listen to John. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you see the word sin there? That word is singular. It's not plural. What he's talking about here is when we get saved. And we come to Jesus Christ, and that inheritance that we have from Adam, what is in us, that sin, we are sinners by nature, that is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We are saved. However, look at what John says in verse 9. If we confess our sins... Do you see that? That's not singular. That is plural. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in a simple way, what's He talking about here? After we are saved, we're going to have sin. After we are saved, we're going to stumble. After we are saved, we're going to lose our focus at times. But the same way that we're cleansed when we're saved is the same way that we're cleansed on a daily basis through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as we confess our sins daily. He's talking about how we live between the first coming and second coming. And so what he says is, look in and be clean. And then the third point here is he says, James, to go back to James, he says what we need to do is look back. look back and be challenged. So who's he talking about here? Well, look at verse 10. My brethren, take the prophets. So he's looking back to the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example. So what is our example? How are we to live between the first coming and second coming? Follow the example that we find in the Bible of the suffering and the patience. So we look at them. In verse 11, he said, you've heard of the perseverance of Job. Think about his example. Look at his example. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Listen to this verse. Here's what it says. For whatever things were written before, that's the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Do you see what James is saying? Look at Jeremiah, what he went through. Look at Hosea, what he went through. Look at Daniel, what he went through. Follow their example. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament and read about all the heroes of faith and all the examples that we find there. Look what they had to go through and be challenged. So we look back at that and we see their example and we keep going forward. So again, he talks about patience. He talks about perseverance here. He talks about this thing with it. And look back to those who have gone before us. Impatience really is at the root of a lot of failures. Simon Peter, when he denied the Lord, see, he got impatient. Moses, when he was leading the children of Israel, what did he do? He got impatient and he smote the rock with his rod. And because of his impatience, he didn't get to enter into the promised land. Abraham, he got impatient about the plan that God had for Abraham and his wife and to have Isaac. And so, you know, they come up with a different plan and another plan. They got impatient with God's timing. And it was at the root of a lot of problems. And so as we look at these examples here, we're to follow these examples and follow them and put our faith and trust in the Lord and be challenged by these folks. Be challenged by their example. And then one more thought here, and that is this. We're to look forward. Look forward and be consistent. So what's James telling us here? He's telling us how to live between the first coming and second coming of Jesus Christ. Look up, be calm, look in, be clean, look back, be challenged, but look forward and be consistent. So here's what he says in verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. The Bible does not condemn taking an oath in a court of law. That's not what this is talking about. If you've ever been in court, you know the routine. You know, put your hand on the Bible and you make the oath, you know, to tell the truth. So help you God. That is a legal oath that we take. We also know this, that everybody does that doesn't tell the truth in court. We know that. That was a common problem in James's day. In other words, they were using an oath for everything. They were using an oath, he says here, neither swear by heaven or swear by earth. That would be, you know, to use God's name every time you said something, to make somebody believe, you know, what you're saying. You had to use an oath to do that. Or, on the other hand, to swear by earth would be a saying like we use today, cross my heart, hope to die. That's a oath we take by earth. So they had those sayings back then. And the point James is making is this, that our character, that our consistency in our walk with the Lord, and what comes out of our mouth in our conversation, it should be so consistent and so in line with the character of God that we shouldn't have to use an oath to back it up. In other words, when you say what you say, then mean what you say. The consistency is this: what I say on Sunday should be lived out on Monday. The way I talk on Sunday should be the same way I talk on Monday. And so the idea here is, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, then we're to look forward to it, but we're to be consistent. So again, James's point was that the believer's life should be such a life of integrity that no one questions what we say. The truth is always the best policy. The truth is the truth. So he says for us to follow that kind of example. So let's bring this together. James has given us here three examples. He talked about the farmer, and then he talked about the prophets, and he talked about Job. And so those are the three examples that he talked about. And so here today, you know, we've talked about how we're to look up and be calm. We've talked about how we're to look in and be clean. How we're to look back and be challenged through the examples that we see here. And we're to look forward and to be consistent. Now, in a simple way, to look forward and be consistent means this. This day is an opportunity for me to live for the Lord. I need to view this day as it could be the last opportunity that I ever have to live a day on this earth for the Lord. And if this is the last day of opportunity that I have to live on this earth for the Lord, then how would that motivate me? What challenge would that bring to me? And see, that's what James is saying here. Look at it that way. Look at every day as the last opportunity that you have to live for the Lord on this earth. And so what that does is it brings that consistency to us. And it brings that calmness to us. It brings that hope to us to know that as we live each day, we live in anticipation of the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that brings me to this point. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, would you be ready to meet Him? How do we do that? By trusting Him, putting our faith in Him, beginning that relationship with Him, asking Him to come into our life, forgive us of sin, be our Savior. If you haven't done that, then you're not ready to meet Him. But you can be ready today. And God has given you this opportunity to be ready. As a Christian, here's what it means to me. It means to me that I need to make that commitment to look up. Make that commitment to look in. Make that commitment to look back and follow these stories in the Bible. Follow these examples of people who you know, had all these circumstances coming against them, but they were patient and they waited on God to work things out. And they be consistent in every day of my life. And so that's what He wants. And that's where we need to be. Let's stand together for our time of invitation. Father, today, we pray for those who are not ready to meet You. For those who've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that they would come today. I pray that they would understand your compassion and your love. I pray today that they would understand that you are reaching out to them today. Lord, you want us to be ready when you come. And as the Bible says in 1 John, the only way that we can clean our hearts is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can be forgiven of sin is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin. And Father, when we come to you and we believe in you and we trust in you, and we ask you to come into our life, then we have forgiveness of sin, we are clean, and we're ready to meet you. And I pray for those who need to make that commitment today. As the Bible teaches us, you could come at any moment. You could come like a thief in the night. So, Lord, help us to be ready. Father, as believers today, help us to follow the advice that James gives us. Lord, we need to look up and be calm to know that you're in control. Father, we need to look in and be clean. We need to look behind and follow the example of those who came before us. We need to look forward and be consistent in our life. And Lord, from that, and if we follow that advice, then it gives us the confidence to know that when you come again, that we're ready. When you come again, we look with great joy and anticipation of that day, because we know that we're ready and we're looking forward to that day. In your name we pray. Amen.